Hello and welcome to MP Access, the official podcast for Mortgage Point and the Five Star Institute. My name is Gina Galusha and I am the Executive Director of Membership. Today we are here with Molly Merchant from StateBridge. She's the REO Manager and we're going to be talking about her career, what she's been up to lately, and what she's preparing for. Sound good?
Hello.
Hello. We're glad you're here.
Happy to be here.
So tell us how you got where you are today.
Okay, so I've been in the REO industry for over 25 years. I started out at a trustee service in the REO department. It was a small REO division. Started off at the bottom as a receptionist, worked my way up to asset manager, and then I worked at a different outsource company, larger. Then I switched sides and worked directly for the lenders. Mm-hmm. I went and worked for AmeriQuest Mortgage, which then was acquired by Citi. Handled nationwide portfolios. Then I went back to outsourcing. And then I went back to the lending, working for Chase. Came back to outsourcing. And then now I'm with StateBridge, acting as their REO manager, which they service residential, commercial, and auto loans. And I'm in the REO department.
Okay. Awesome. What do you love about that part of the process?
The REO process?
Yeah.
My favorite part of the REO process is offer negotiations. I love offer negotiations. So I've always told people, once you get into REO, you expose yourself to different processes. You know, so maybe you start off as an eviction coordinator, and you learn about that, and then you learn about property preservation. So later on, if you decide to make a career change, you've had all this experience from eviction coordinator to possibly closing. So it opens up a lot of doors. I would always tell my staff, you know, cross-training is important. So, you know, if you started off in one position and now I asked you to help out in this position, you know, you've just made yourself more valuable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely. Because when you know all of the parts of the process, mm-hmm. you can be such a better partner mm-hmm. to people who are in the other parts of the process, right?
Yep.
You know, so if you understand the beginning and then you go to work in the middle, you can help be a better middle, you know?
Yep. And as a manager, someone who's going to oversee a team, I think it helps that the person that, you know, is in charge of your department has the experience of the whole process. So if somebody comes to you with a problem, you know, and say, an eviction issue or preservation or title, you know, you've been there and you can say, okay, you know, yeah, I've experienced this. Let me tell you what I would do. So that helps that somebody has the overall experience.
Absolutely.
Yep.
And a good mentor.
Yes, definitely. But like I said, my personal, which I love about the REO process, well, first of all, it's changing. It's ever changing. No property's the same. Mm-hmm. You're managing portfolios nationwide. So, you know, you're dealing with different states, different counties, different cities, the guidelines that you have to follow, and you're meeting a lot of people, like here, and you learn a lot. So that's always kept me interested. It's not a boring job.
No, not at all. Some really good stories come out of this work.
Yeah. I mean, there's some stressful situations.
Oh, for sure.
And like I said, we are representing our clients. You know, I always keep in mind that, you know, I'm representing them and trying to make the best decisions, which on their properties that they've already taken a loss. So I'm trying to recoup as much as fast, getting them on the market, sold. But so I personally like to, you know, I treat these as my own. If this was my house, what would I do?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Why is REO important to the housing industry, to mortgage servicing, to kind of the economy and the country, really, ultimately?
So the REO process, and you know, for our clients, like I said, who've already taken a loss on their properties, once they acquire them, they revert back to them. You know, they're the owners. Some of them do not have any interest in becoming landlords, and like I said, they're looking for somebody to help them throughout the process of the disposition process. So again, dealing with the different markets. You know, the REO process, you know, we're helping not only our clients liquidating the properties for them, but in some cases, if you decide to repair a property, then you're improving the neighborhood, the way the neighborhood looks. your pricing and other people's pricings dictate the sales. So if the guy down the street prices it at X, then I know, okay, if I want to move this property, then I need to market it X or lower. So it dictates the market. Mm-hmm. So, and then again, managing a nationwide portfolio, there's areas that you have to learn to be flexible. So if in this market, in this state, this is what we have to do, then, you know, you're flexible. Or something else where, oh, I can put it on the market as is. I know I'm going to get investor activity. This is the way we're going to do it. Mm-hmm. If this is a more owner-occupant type of neighborhood, then you're going to market your property different. Like I said, most, like, for example, FHA buyers, they have little cash on hand for down payment, closing costs, right, and rehab. So now those are the suggestions you give your client. Well, we want to rehab this house. It's going to improve the marketability. We're going to conform to the neighborhood, opposed to, you know, boarded up homes up and down the street.
Right. Right. When I'll never forget when I first came to Five Star, I was talking to an REO agent and I was learning like all the things they go through, mm-hmm, you know, the mess and the guns and the dogs and the, you know, scary things and gross things. And I remember asking one of them, why do you do what you do? And they said, you know, I love driving down a street and seeing a house that was a hazard, mm-hmm, and now it's a home.
Right.
You know, and that's a beautiful, it's transformative, mm-hmm, in so many ways.
I was just speaking with some agents, and yeah, they, you know, the agents are great. I couldn't do my job without them. All the vendors, you know, you're talking like minimum 5 vendors per file that,
right,
you're dealing with.
Right.
And so we all have to work as a team to get to the end goal. But you could, you know, the agents, I mean, they take these things personal.
They do.
Yeah. And, you know, one was just telling me a story about, you know, an elderly lady, you know, at a property, and mm-hmm, just, you know, I she's felt so bad, and she's like, I want to help this person. And being an animal lover myself, you know, aww, when the agents call me and say, well, somebody left their dog behind, I'm like, no. So, you know, then I'm, you know, I'm all of a sudden I'm like, what do we got to do? What do we have to do? You know, call the animal shelter, do this, do that. So, yeah, it's the agents go through a lot.
They do.
Yeah.
They do. They're brave souls.
They are. I've been on property inspections before and in some blighted areas, and it took a lot out of me. I mean, we did like, you know, 8 in a day, and I'm like, oh my God, you see this every day. You know,
right,
and I'm here, you know, every quarter looking at properties, but you guys see this every day. So
much resilience.
Mm-hmm.
So much. So how are you seeing, you mentioned REO is changing all the time. Mm-hmm. What are you seeing that's changing right now?
I would say, well, pricing is key. Well, you know, the interest rates obviously affect, you know, when people feel more comfortable, then they're a little bit more, you see the market increase.
Yes.
But if it's low, then, you know, then you, it comes down to pricing. To me, I look at every property based on condition, location, and pricing.
Mm.
We can only, you know, do so much. So if your house is in, you know, the subjects that, you know, run down across the street from a cemetery or railroad tracks, we can't pick up the house and move it.
Nope.
So we're like, okay, do we want to invest in this? You know, if it's an area that's high crime, then you're probably not going to want to do a rehab. So what does it come down to? Pricing.
Mm-hmm.
And then if it's in a nice area and, you know, the location's a positive feature, then you can be flexible with the pricing and maybe you don't have to repair it.
Mm-hmm.
So right now it's being flexible in the market. But again, it's going to vary by state and area. You know, you can list a property or you can look at values at a property on one street and then 2 streets over, it's different.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what? Again, regardless of what the market is now, you still have to look at each of these as on an individual basis.
Mm-hmm. 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 It's always wild to me how you can be in a city, and you know, sometimes you have affluent homes,
mm-hmm,
and then you cross the street,
mm-hmm,
and you're in a totally different
neighborhood.
Yes.
Yep.
And I've always wondered, like, how does that happen? How does that work?
Yeah. I don't know the answer to that, but, you know, you can be on a street with, you know, standard houses,
mm-hmm,
and then 2 streets over, they're custom builds.
Right.
Yeah, so every neighborhood's different. Right. Yeah, so, but yeah, right now, just I think approaching the REO market based on the individual location, like I said, condition, and then determining your pricing.
Mm-hmm. When you first get an REO, what are your top priorities?
Okay, so when the property comes into REO, we order an initial inspection, either by the agent or the preservation mm-hmm. company. And if they come back, it's either going to be vacant or occupied. So that's going to tell you your next step. If it's occupied, then you're probably going to have to start an eviction, or if your client is open to it, offer cash for keys. Mm-hmm. If that doesn't work out, then, you know, you're in the eviction process for a while, and it's going to vary. You know, it could be as quickly as a 35, 45-day eviction to a year or longer.
Right.
Again, based on location. If it's vacant, then the first thing we do is order the rekey, get it secured, place a lockbox at the property, determine the condition, order bids for cleanup and repairs. Most of our clients like to sell as is, so even as is means you're going to at least get it trashed out, sales clean, maintain the yard, and take care of any safety and liability issues.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So that's the first thing we do. So you're either going to be in occupied status or pre-market status. Oh, and then have order the BPO for the agent to complete. And next step would be prepare your market plan.
Off to the races.
Yep.
When you're preparing your market plan, there's so many different goals and outcomes to keep in mind, right? You have to think about what you were talking about, the condition of the house, the location of the house, the client and what their mm-hmm. goals are, what timeline this mm-hmm. is expected to go. It feels like there are so many variables to grapple with, you know? I can see how it'd be fun, but also really challenging.
Yes. So I personally have like a market plan template. Mm-hmm. With just a generic, this is a 3-bedroom, 2-bath, you know, 1,100 square feet. The market conditions are stable. Employment is stable. List the repairs based on the agent's BPO. The following repairs are needed, and the agent's estimate is X. And then I get into the comps and then give my suggestion. But like you mentioned, based on clients. So if some of our clients want an appraisal, some of them don't. And if you're working on a government-insured loan, they have milestones and timelines that you have to follow.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, you know, they'll list at a percentage of the appraisal, and after 30 days, you know, the next step is needed.
Right.
And then on some of them, you know, where they're going to file the claim at the end, you have only 120 days to get it on the market and sold and closed, or it affects their claim status.
Right.
So as depending on your client, you're going to prepare your market plan based on their goals or guidelines that they have to follow.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
About how many of these do you do a month?
The
market plans.
Oh, the market plans. Again, that's going to vary based on if they come in vacant or, you know, the eviction's complete. Probably maybe 10.
Okay.
Yeah.
That sounds like a fun strategic brain.
Yeah. And they come in at different times. So, like,
right.
They'll be like, oh, you know, it's not vacant yet. We're still waiting for the property preservation to be done. Or this one's still in eviction. And so, like, oh, I only have one to do today. And then next week it's like, boom, everything's vacant. Everything's out of eviction. I'm like, oh, my goodness. So then I prioritize them.
Right.
And based on their vacancy date. Okay, this one's already been vacant for 2 days. I'm going to start on this one now or whatever. So, yeah, it's just I just prioritize them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Strategic. It sounds like you've got a very strategic framework that's flexible,
mm-hmm.
but also sort of more
consistent.
That, yes, yes, I love that. That's good.
Yep.
So you've talked about 5 vendors typically that work on a property together. Who are those and kind of what are their roles and how do they need to communicate and work together?
So I'm just going to start at the beginning. Let's say the property is occupied, so you have your eviction attorney.
Mm-hmm.
Then, of course, your agent,
mm-hmm.
Which we rely on them for inspections and ultimately marketing and helping us sell it. Then we have your title vendor who's going to prepare the title work and let you know of any title issues. Then you have your closing vendor. So sometimes title and closing are the same. Sometimes they're different. Certain states are attorney states. So you're dealing with an attorney to do your closing instead of an escrow or title company.
Mm-hmm.
Preservation. So right off the bat, regardless of the occupancy, you have your preservation vendors. So I think that's five. And there's probably more in there, you know, that once in a while you get something different. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, at minimum five.
Right. How do you decide what the agent's going to do and prop pres is going to do? Because they do overlap.
Yes. It's client-driven, so some of our clients have their own preservation companies, so they'll say, okay, once you let us know it's vacant, we'll send the preservation company, they'll take care of the preservation issues and the rekey. If not, then we rely on the agent. So it's all client-driven.
Right.
I tend to lean more towards the agents because they have local vendors right there.
Right.
So, you know, it's like, can you get this rekey tomorrow? You know, and they're usually pretty successful.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
And agents got to have their partners in their back pocket, too,
yep.
to pull out in their toolbox.
Yep.
So what makes a strong vendor or partner in your work? What kind of characteristics?
Communication, being responsive. To me, like, for example, I'm just going to start with the preservation vendors. Preservation is tough.
It is.
But,
and kind of thankless.
And yes.
Yeah.
But a good preservation vendor, well, first of all, you're going to obviously establish your guidelines and expectations for them. And a good preservation will keep that in mind. And then comes communication. Okay, you know, you said you'd have the trash out done in 10 days and it's not 10. Please let me know ahead of time at day 7 that you're not going to be able to complete it and give me your next ETA
mm-hmm.
date.
Mm-hmm.
And same with agents. Oh, your BPO was due on this date. Something came up. You can't get it done. Let me know ahead of time, and then give me the ETA. So any vendor is going to be communication, being responsive, and anticipating any challenges.
Mm-hmm.
And that goes across the board. Same with closing and title. So, yeah, just keeping us up to date.
Right. Communication so often is the most important thing,
yep.
but also the most difficult thing because there's so many things that happen and you're so busy and saying it in the right way that it makes sense and it's concise and it's, you know, those kinds of things is a very important skill.
So, like, let's say the closing piece, you know, you put a property under contract. It's in escrow and everybody has the contract. They know when the closing date is. The contract says, you know, the buyer's deposit has to be in within 3 days of the opening escrow. So there are your guidelines right there. So if everybody would stick to their individual roles and stick to the guidelines, and then if something comes up, because something always comes up,
always.
then again, letting everybody know up front.
Mm-hmm.
And, for example, you said the vendors working together. The agents and the title and closing, especially when it's under contract, it's
yep.
key that they communicate. So, you know, if the closing company says, I haven't seen the buyer's deposit, then I'm going to the agent. Hey, where's the deposit? This was supposed to be in 3 days ago. And they're like, I'm on it. But if they would communicate with each other and then come to me afterwards,
right.
that would be,
yeah.
you know, that would work out mm-hmm. better.
We also have a panel coming up in a little bit that is about the partnership of agents and attorneys
mm-hmm.
as well. I think because that sometimes, it doesn't happen as frequently.
Right.
But when it does, it's really key. They can give each other important intel and, you know, speed that process along a lot of the time.
So starting with the eviction process,
mm-hmm.
you know, you're right. It doesn't happen often. Usually it's our eviction coordinator corresponding with the eviction attorney. But I'm all for looping the agent in. And, you know, we require the agents to do weekly inspections. So if all of a sudden they're out there one day and it's gone. You know, I saw a moving van out in front and they're moving. You let the attorney know, too.
Right.
Because then he's like, okay, well, I was just about to file the notice of, you know, whatever, notice to vacate or the writ to send to the sheriff's, but you see a moving van out there, you know, maybe I won't spend the client's money for the next step.
Right. Yeah.
And then we need to know. It's like, great, you know, let us know if they did move out so we can get the preservation company out there and get it rekeyed. So attorneys and agents, and then when it comes to closing, you know, same situation.
Yeah. The thing that we are hearing more and more about are title and lien issues as
mm-hmm.
well, you know, and that the agent being able to help the attorney with those and vice versa.
Yep. Title issues will definitely cause a delay in the whole process and specifically the closing. My ideal process would be to order the title to work right when it comes into REO. Not all clients do that.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them will wait till it goes under contract. And then if there is a title issue, you're finding it out later, which is going to delay your closing.
Right.
Where if we know about it up front, you know, the title companies grade the title, so they'll tell you, oh, it's the foreclosure deed is missing. Okay, then I can jump on the phone with the agent and say, how long does this county take to record a deed? And they're like, you know, 10 days. Okay, 60 days. Then we kind of know what the next step is.
So. Since you've been working in this area for a while, what are some of the common mistakes you've seen where people are trying to move the asset too quickly?
Okay, so first would be preservation. If they want to put it on the market right away and the house is not market ready or ready to show. So when the first 30 days are when you launch the property onto the market and the preservation work is not completed, buyer's first impressions are big. You're going to get your most traffic and your most exposure within the 30 days. So mm-hmm. preservation being not being done before the property is ready to go. Title, going back to title. If you're not addressing the title issues either during or before the process, that's also going to affect it. And then pricing. You know, we rely on our agents to give us their values. So you can go out there aggressive and saying, I just want to get this property sold. Mm-hmm. So then you might, you know, be leaving some money on the table. Or you could just say, oh, well, our last BPO or our last appraisal from a year ago said this is what it's worth. We don't have current values in, but this is what we have from a year ago, and they put it on the market. And we're like, no, we're off the mark here. Mm-hmm. So pricing and condition and title issues will definitely affect it.
Yep, totally. Mm-hmm. Awesome. And where do you see in the REO process where human judgment is really key rather than kind of those, you know, automated tasks of working through all the things?
I've been saying this for years. You know, it's like within the REO process, yes, tasking and reporting and technology is definitely, you know, it helps with speed and efficiency. But again, each property is different. You're going to apply a different strategy to a different each scenario. And so there needs to be strategic thinking on each property. So let's just say after 30 days you're on the market and you don't have an offer, a price reduction isn't just necessarily the answer.
Right.
You need to take a look at it. Agents are required to provide a monthly status report. Let's look at the buyer and agent feedback. Oh, it was priced too high. There's too many repairs, you know. So again, taking that in consideration. Could the price reduction be the answer? Maybe. But we need to take all that others into consideration. And the human aspect of it is like I said, thinking through what's it going to take to liquidate this process. And the agents, having the interaction with the agents, we talked about it in the last panel, you know, yes, you can exchange emails back and forth. Why didn't this property sell? But if you don't get the answer you're looking for, or the agent is like, no, that's not what I tried to say, pick up the phone and do a 5-minute conversation. You will get more out of that 5-minute conversation mm-hmm. and probably more.
Right.
Yep.
Right.
Yep. And then in some cases, you know, having the agent, local agent, knowing what is required in that area, you know, going to the police department to maybe say, oh, you know, this property is continuing to get vandalized. You know, hey, you know, I need to have the police know to monitor this. Mm-hmm. Or, again, going back to the foreclosure deed not being recorded, the good agents was like, I'm going to go down to the county and introduce myself to the clerk mm-hmm. and just let her know, hey, I need this deed whenever it comes up. That face-to-face interaction does help.
Yeah, and yep. those relationships.
They're definitely
the
relationships.
Level,
yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. They're like, oh, I know the code enforcement guy. He and I went to high school together. Okay, great. Can you have him give us 30 extra days to get to work done? You know? So that helps.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yep.
As we wrap up, what advice would you give to the folks out there as they prepare for the coming year?
Again, strategic thinking. Your inventory count is going to, you know, flow, you know, differently. So, I mean, I know it's not possible if you have a big inventory and an asset manager is assigned a large portfolio. They may not have the time to do that, but have a game plan. Like I said, you know, have the game plan, have your vendors in place, have your processes in place within your department. look for strong people on both internally and your vendors to handle your portfolio. Mm-hmm. That will really help you in the end. And like I said, be flexible, but be consistent.
Flexible, but consistent. That's mm-hmm. such a good motto.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And sharing your strategic brain and your experience with us. We're glad you could join us here at Velocity and yep. here on MP Access. And thank you for joining us. We hope you learned a lot, and we will see you next time on MP Access.
Thanks for listening to MP Access. Stay up to date with daily mortgage news, featured stories, and our latest episodes of the podcast at themortgagepoint.com. Don't miss out. We'll see you next week.